your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Hey, Merry Meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now, my guest tonight is Echo Bodine. She's an internationally acclaimed ghostbuster, psychic, clairvoyant, and spiritual healer. And her career has spanned, maybe 50-plus years already, and she's been really busy teaching people about the importance of their spiritual gift. She teaches classes on psychic development and spiritual healing. She's the author of several books, including What Happens When We Die and Echoes of the Soul. She's appeared on numerous television and radio shows over time and been with us just a couple of months ago. And the reason she's back is because there were so many questions from the chat room that didn't get answered, so we decided to dedicate a whole hour for her to answer questions about death and dying, life after death, what's it like on the other side, communicating with spirits, all that good stuff. So, and I already know that we've got some really humdingers of questions that are coming in, so this is good. So don't be shy. Ask questions. You can send them to me in the private thing on Para-X, because if you put it in the main chat, it's going to go flying by so fast I might miss it. So, like I said, we're taking questions from the Para-X chat room. So if you're not in the chat room and you have a question, please come over to paraxradionetwork.com and join us. So Echo, welcome back, and thank you for coming back to kind of pick up where we left off, so to speak.
I know, sweetie. How long? It was a couple months already. Wow, that's just shocking to me. But everything's shocking to me lately. Everything seems moving so fast. So it's great to be here. Thank you for doing this.
People are just champing at the bit. They've got so many questions. I've been getting them all week. They've been coming in, and there's going to be more in the chat room. And so I think probably we should get started.
Okay, Spinner. I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first question comes in, and it's, how can you tell when you're having a dream versus a visitation in your sleep?
Oh, boy. That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. You know, what I have found is when it's a real visitation, when you wake up in the morning, you feel emotional about it versus having just that person happens to be a character in one of your dreams. And that's the only way that I can really tell, if you wake up and you feel impacted by the dream in an emotional way. That was actually a visitation that you had with a loved one.
Okay. Yeah, there is a different feeling to it, I think. That makes good sense. Kind of trust your gut if that's how you feel differently.
Exactly, honey. Exactly.
Okay. Question number two. Have you ever had any interaction with extraterrestrials, and how has it affected your outlook, if you have?
I have had experiences with aliens, and how has it affected me? That's interesting. The first time it ever happened to me, I was really upset about it because that was funny, actually. I was yelling at God. I was saying, you know, it's bad enough that I have to see the dead all day throughout the day, but now I have to deal with frickin' aliens. And I said, no, I'm not doing this. And So I didn't have any more encounters for quite a while. And then since then, I've had other communication with aliens. And all the ones that I, not all the ones, I've only, it's only been two different kinds, but the two aliens that I've communicated with were very nice. You know, there was nothing creepy about them. And how has it changed my outlook? You know, it just, it really opened my thinking as far as, wow, there are other universes and there are people, I guess we'll call them aliens, but, you know, they look like people to me. They just look different than we do. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, one of them told me that they were from the planet Ura, U-R-A, and he said it was, it's a planet outside of our solar system. And the other ones, they didn't say where they were from. So it just showed me that there's so much more out there than we know. And again, I have to say they were both pleasant, very, very, not business-like, but very, just intellectual.
Professional, yeah, intellectual, professional, yeah.
Professional, yeah. Yeah. And very intellectual. This one guy, he told me, he said, communicating to you, he said, for me, communicating to you is like you trying to communicate to an ant.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And he said to me, this is not easy for us to communicate to you. Like, wow, me trying to talk to an ant? So, yeah, but that's what he said.
I curse ants, but, you know, I don't talk to
them. So do I.
Yeah, you can't help them. I mean, God's creatures, but you know what? They're pesky. Oh. Okay, I'm curious. So how did you meet up with this ET, or how did you know it was an ET? I mean, what were the circumstances?
I know, honey. Okay, so what happened was that I got a call from 3M, the company 3M. HR person, and she said, "We have an employee here who, very nice young man, but there's something different about him than other people, and I really want to offer him as much help as I can." And she said, and I think you're the one that can figure this out. So, you know, me, I'm so used to past life stuff that mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Marlo, the last thing on my mind was you or aliens. But, honey, we met at a restaurant, and very, very nice young man. And so we were chatting, and all of a sudden, these four aliens kind of floated towards me. And the father said that this was their son who really, really, really wanted to be a human being, wanted to feel emotion and what do humans experience. And his father, this was so interesting because his father was, he was the one that made that comment about, you know, the aunt. And he said to me at the very end, I had my eyes closed the whole time so I could see the father and the mother and the brother and the sister. And but what was interesting, Marla, was they all look exactly alike. I mean, there was nothing about the mother's appearance that would say this is the mother, but her energy just said, I'm the mother. And then there was a son and a daughter. But again, honey, they all looked exactly alike. And, you know, what did they look like? They looked very white and almost seamless. And that sounds strange, too. But, honey, they just had a human form, all white. Yeah, they did have the big eyes. And just a little tiny bump in the middle of their face, which I would assume is their nose, and their ears were into their head, so they didn't stick out. And his father explained to him, and he told him, he said, "You have to stop going to that movie. It's making you homesick, and we are not going to come and get you. You asked for a human life, and so you have a human life. So experience everything you possibly can. And when your time is up and you've learned everything you can, then you can come home." And so his father said, oh, I sent a thought to his father and said, "Movie? He has to stop going to that movie?" And he said, the father said, "He has seen that movie 13 times, and every time he sees it, it just upsets him." But the father didn't say to me what the movie was. And so, okay, so I was just repeating everything word for word to the young man, and I could hear him crying, and I just kept repeating everything that the father said. And I could hear the waitress come over from time to time, and he would just say, "Could you come back in a few minutes?" Honey, when the father was done, I opened my eyes. I had kind of this kind of confusion, like, where am I? And okay, that's right. I'm in a restaurant. I'm talking to this young boy, and he told me that everything that the father said, he knew, and it was all a confirmation of the thoughts that this young boy had. And I said, "What movie have you seen 13 times?" And he said,
E.T.
No, Encounters. Honey, what's that? Close Encounters of the Third.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
13 times. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And so, and then the young boy told me about his life. Oh, my God. He's had every possible experience. And he was only 26 years old. And I knew that he was going to have quite a few more experiences. Mm-hmm. And then, but you know, the other thing, Marla, that was so interesting is the dad says to me, "When you're done with this communication, you will forget everything that I have said to you." And I thought to myself, I thought, yeah, right. Are you kidding? I can't wait to tell my mom all this stuff. And honey, within 10 minutes, I forgot it all.
Wow.
It was all gone. And I talked to this boy for over an hour. We channeled information. I mean, his dad talked about, I know that he talked about their life, their planet, their, oh, God, just the way they are. Mm-hmm. And it was all gone by the time, because I was driving to my mom's house just to tell her everything. And by the time I got there, I was like, oh, my God, Mom, there was so much I had to tell you, and I don't remember what it was.
I know that feeling when I get up in the morning and I remember my dream for about a millisecond, and then it's gone. Totally
yes.
gone.
Yeah, I know. It's
I get it. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's get to some other questions because they're coming in like wildfire.
Okay.
The next question is, hang on. It's multi, there's different parts to it. So he wants to know if we'll be able to embrace our loved ones when we pass, and what form will we see them in? And yeah, I mean, physically embrace. And then also, will we have emotions like we have when we're alive? Is there joy and sadness and anger and, you know, all kinds of emotions on the other side?
Okay. So how this works is we won't physically embrace because we won't have a physical body anymore, but you are a soul and our loved ones are souls. And so, yes, we do hug each other on the other side. We are us. We look just like we do here on Earth, except we look younger. And, you know, we look just like us. And, all right, the third part of that was...
Do we have emotions? Like
yes, all of it. It's really, when you die, your soul is your personality. So your soul moves on to the other side, and you are you. Believe me, it's just... Everybody in heaven looks, I don't know, somewhere between 25 and, I don't even know if I can say 30 years old. Around 25, 26 years old. Mm-hmm. That's been my experience. Everyone that I've seen over there looks young, even grandpas and grandmas.
Mm-hmm. So how would we maybe recognize them? Like if it was, suppose a kid was... 5 years old when their grandparents died and never knew what they looked like earlier. When they got over there, how would they recognize that person then?
Well, honey, they've probably seen a picture or two of the grandparents from, their parents probably showed them a picture at one time or another. And if not, that's okay. It doesn't matter. The grandparents will be there when the person dies. To take them to the other side, to welcome them. Yeah, family, family shows up for loved ones when we're dying. So,
okay.
They'll find them.
Another part of that, to add to it, is when we die. I've always heard that somebody will be there to help you across. You're not going to flounder and be on your own. But can people make a verbal request, like even now, okay, well, if I'm going to be dead in 30 years, I would like so-and-so to meet me, as I pass. Do we have a choice of who can come, or do we just, whoever gets there?
Yeah, honey, we do have a choice. We can ask. And the other thing is, what's cool is that even if the person has reincarnated by that time, their soul will still come and be with you at your time of death. It's very interesting how it all works. But, okay, so let me tell you just a really interesting story. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine was not in labor. She asked me to come over and give her a healing. She was overdue. And so while I was channeling a healing to her, she said, is it possible to talk to the soul of this baby and find out what is taking so long? And so this was really cool. So I had my eyes closed and I just said to my guides, I'd like to talk to the soul who's going to be born to my friend here. And this female soul came in really sweet. Oh, gosh. And she said, okay, here's the deal. She said, I died when I was 6 years old in my last life. And my grandmother is now dying. And her wish is to see me as soon as she gets to heaven. So I'm going to be there. I will appear to her as a six-year-old. I will spend a day or two with her explaining that I'm about to start a new life. So please be patient. She's almost deceased. And as soon as this day occurs, then I will come and be born through you. And it was about 3 days later that my friend went into labor and gave birth to just an adorable daughter. And the kid, she's now 21 years old, and she's just been such a blessing her whole life.
Wow.
So, isn't that cool? I know, honey. Really, it was shocking to me. What? You were what? It's like, what? And, but that was cool. I learned a lot from that. It was good.
It's all those good lessons that we do learn, if we... open our minds enough to listen. We shut our mouths and open our ears. Maybe that's a better way of putting it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Another question from the chat room. Have you spoken to folks who have had near-death experiences?
Yes, I have.
Do they tell stories that maybe you learn from, or you know, things that maybe you didn't know, or do they just, you know, not fear death anymore, maybe?
Oh, gosh, every one of them has told me that they have no fear of death at all, that they can't wait, actually. And they all say very similar things, you know, that it was a really, really nice place. They didn't want to come back. They really struggled with it. Some of them, when they came back, were really depressed for a few days. Mm-hmm. Because they wanted to stay there, because the energy there is just so light and easy. And that's pretty much what all of them have had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard stories. They've done documentaries on people that have had NDEs, and it's really quite fascinating. And it really does alleviate the fear in a lot of cases, because it is so nice over there. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, here's a short question. Is there Christmas in heaven?
That's a good question. And yes, there can be Christmas in heaven. If you're over there and you've got relatives and everybody's saying, hey, it's Christmas on earth, they might choose to come and be here with us during the Christmas season. They can do that. Mm-hmm. Or they might do a Christmas thing on the other side. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just kind of have a like a reminiscent kind of party, you know, this is what we did, and it's fun to do it up here too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. It's another one along the line of recognizing those who've crossed over. Do you think that maybe we recognize those who've reincarnated?
Yes. Yes. Yes and no. It's, well, you know.
I had a question similar to that in a sense, and now I've got to look at it because I did jot it down, but it might make this one easier to answer. Let me see where I wrote it. If a person is reincarnated a time or two, when we go back over to the other side, will we remember the people we shared lives with? And maybe it works both ways.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. When we get over to the other side? Oh, yeah. You know, honey, they have welcome home parties on the other side for us. And a lot of the people that we knew when we were living that are now deceased will be at those parties. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's really cool. The whole system sounds funny to say it that way, but it just, oh yeah, we definitely see the people that we knew when we were living. And you know what else? We look at them from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Our soul looks at them from a different perspective. And so mm-hmm. when we're here on Earth, we see people in a limited perspective, and when we're out of our body and we're our soul, we see kind of the bigger picture of people. Mm-hmm. So even when we see people that we have resentments towards, or mm-hmm. I don't know, angry with, you know, honey, if we're willing to see the bigger picture, then when we look at them, we can see the bigger picture. We have mm-hmm. an understanding of why we had that kind of a relationship with each other. Mm-hmm. Other people choose to stay as closed as possible, and so they keep that rage and anger with them, which is really unfortunate. But a lot of people do that. So, you know, when we get to heaven, you'll see people that are really stuck in mm-hmm. their old beliefs, and then you'll see other souls that just want to keep growing and looking at things from a higher perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she just got me because she said she was asking me that question too, and so she says, you know, she needs my thoughts. But I had another part of that too, was that sometimes we meet people, strangers, for no reason, and we immediately take a dislike to, or some that we immediately gravitate to. So it's my thought that it's true that when we're here on Earth, most of the people that maybe we're related to or are very close to were souls that we shared past lives with. So that's why we recognized them. That's exactly. My way of thinking.
Yeah, honey. Yes. Okay. I totally agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, why should you look at somebody and just hate them all of a sudden? You know, you don't give them a chance. You just, you know?
And I know, honey.
And others, you just, you know somebody for 5 minutes and you feel like you've known them a lifetime and, well, you probably have, you know.
Oh, yes, I love that. Yep.
Yeah, so that's perfect. All right. Mm-hmm. Let me see. Okay. Another question. If we call out to others on the other side, can they hear us?
Yes. The best thing to do is say their name out loud, and then whatever you want to say to them, you can, because they can hear it. I'm trying to think. You know, you don't want to just say, hey, mom, because if you think about it, there's 100 million moms in heaven. So say their name, and you can say, Mom, Mary Bodine, you know, but don't just holler out, Mom. And, you know, okay, here's another thing that's interesting is I called my grandma one time, asked her if she could come, and I was in a therapist's office, and he was telling me, Marla, he was telling me that all this stuff is in my head and that psychic abilities aren't real and that I have to stop doing this stuff. And so I said to him, well, if I could get somebody to come here and do something, would you believe me? And he said, I suppose, I don't know. And so I just closed my eyes and I said, Grandma Laura, will you please come here? And gosh, Marla, within, I swear, 2 seconds, bam, she was there. And she said, to me, what do you want? And I said, well, so mental telepathy. I said, Grandma, this guy doesn't believe that this stuff is real. And she looks at him. She goes, oh, really? And so she goes and stands behind him, and she starts playing with the back of his neck. Mm-hmm. And he starts squirming in his chair. And she looked at me, and she said, I don't like this man at all. So she just kept playing with the back of his neck. Finally, he gets up out of his chair, and he says to me, all right, make it stop. And so I said, okay. And I look at Grandma, and she said to me, I don't like him, and I don't want you seeing him anymore. And then she says to me, and on top of it, she says, Echo, I love you dearly, but honey, I have a life, and you can't just say, Grandma, come here. She said, you can ask us to come, but, you know, we are busy. We are living new lives. And that was such a shock to me that... Well, I was young at the time, but I thought, wow, so my grandma's not just in heaven waiting for me to call her. Wow, she's got things to do. I thought that was so strange. And but yet again, it was another learning lesson that we can call them, but sometimes they're just not going to come. My sister and I kid a lot about our mom because ever since she died, we're like, Mom, can you come and visit? And she doesn't. And so we always say she's probably playing bingo because that was her big deal when she was living on Earth. But then she does show up at other times. So we just have to remember that they are living lives on the other side. And, you know, it's kind of like, well, if a spirit just calls us in the middle of the day and says, can you come here? It's like, well, no, I'm working. So we just have to think of it in that way.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit. We're going to go to a break in about a minute, but we'll talk a little bit more about life on the other side because it's a very interesting thing and a lot of questions about that. And so far, we're doing good. How are you holding up?
I'm doing great. I'm trying to talk fast and just pick out the most important parts of these stories so that I don't go on and on and on. So. Well, so far, so good. Okay. All right.
The stories are very, very good. All right, guys. We will be back in 2 minutes with more Echo Bodine and more of your questions. Be right back. Mm-hmm.
Don't go away. There's more Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks right after these important messages.
From Haunted Road Media comes an exciting new novel by author Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Two lost souls, ripped apart by murder in another century, find each other again in the present, only to discover that the murderer has followed them through time. Can their love save them, or will history repeat itself? Find out in this captivating new novel by Marla Brooks, Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Available now on Amazon.com and at BarnesandNoble.com.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, perhaps. It takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening in to Stirring the Cauldron. I just wanted to give you a quick heads up, if you don't already know, about the free weekly Witches Oracle Deck readings that I post on my website every Monday. Now, let me answer the age-old question before you ask it, which is, well, how do I know it's for me? And the answer is pretty simple. If you weren't meant to see it, you wouldn't know it was there. So if you're curious about what the week has in store for you, pop on over to marlabrooks.com every Monday and scroll down on the homepage, and there it will be.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
That guy never lies. He always says I'm back, and every time he does, I am. I can't make a liar out of my clear. All right. So we're back with Echo Bodine, and we have some questions. Really interesting things are coming in, so let me find another one.
All right.
And this one kind of goes along with what we finished the first half with, because they want to know, what do souls do once they cross over? Do they hang out with friends and relatives? Do they have jobs? Do souls need a house to live in?
You know, that's, oh gosh, Marla. Okay, yes, 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 and yes. Answer to all those questions. Yes, you know what? We all have a home on the other side. And, oh gosh, yes. I'll just say yes, yes, yes. We find our friends, we find our families. You know, the other thing, though, that's cool is that we see all the other people there that we've known in other lifetimes. And I remember one time in a reading, the information said okay, let's say that we're walking down the street in heaven, and people are walking towards us, and how do I say this? So we will look like we do in this lifetime, but if there's somebody coming towards us from our lifetime in Germany, then we see them as they looked in Germany, and we recognize our loved ones from other lifetimes that way. Mm-hmm. So even though when we die and we go to the other side, and we will look like we do in this lifetime, when other people see us from previous lives, we will appear to them as we looked in those lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's how we'll recognize all these people. And, you know, like the angels say, you know, if we've had, Marla, think about it. If we've all had minimum 300 lifetimes, think of all the people we know. Oh, my gosh, girl. We know a ton of people in heaven.
Well, that's so, it. And ancestors, too. How many hundreds of generations of ancestors? So, you know, but...
Exactly. Yep.
I guess, you know, I mean, I'd like to know some of my ancestors, but I don't go, you know, with doing the family tree and everything, I'm only going back to maybe 1600. And then it's so spread out that I can't keep track. You know, when you do Ancestry.com, they give you all this stuff. But, you know, it goes back farther than that. And I guess the question that just popped into my head was, if you have so many ancestors going back for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, do they know all of us that come after them? Or, you know, do they kind of stick to their own era kind of thing?
Sweetheart, I think so many of them, most of them, I would say, have reincarnated and they've moved on into new lives.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Because otherwise it would be crazy. I mean, not necessarily crazy, crazy, but, you know, just
no,
too many
imagine
people.
A family picnic. Holy smokes.
Yeah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes up to that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really strange. All right. I'm trying to read my own scribbles here and see what I can come up. Okay, so a long time ago when you were on the show, you talked about crossing over with your mother not long before she passed. You know, you just kind of went over there. And that was like astral projection, right, in a sense. So if you were able to go over there, can anyone do that if they know how? I mean, can any of us just go and visit the other side and, you know, then come back? And I mean, people don't think they can do that.
People, well, first of all, honey, it's not easy to consciously astral project. I mean, you really have to learn how to do it. And what's it called? Robert Monroe, is that? I think it's Robert Monroe of the Monroe Institute in where, Virginia or something like that. Mm-hmm. He teaches, well, he's deceased now, but they teach people how to consciously astral project. He's mm-hmm. got some really good books, Journeys Out of the Body, and then the next one was More Journeys Out of the Body. And he teaches people how to consciously astral project. And then, my brain just went on blank. Hold on. And then they report stories back to Dr. Monroe. And, honey, it's possible. You know, the only thing about it. Okay, no, let me back up for a second. We astral project every night when we go to sleep. Our soul comes out of our body. Our soul goes to the other side and visits our loved ones. And when we do have those encounters, it usually comes through as a dream. And we wake up in the morning and we feel emotional about it. We might really miss that person, or we might feel really happy. We think it was just a dream, when in fact, if it feels like a real experience, it was a real experience. Our souls don't go to the other side as much as we think they would, because it is home to our souls. We can be very sad when we come back, again, just like I said earlier, because it is so nice on the other side, and because we have my brain. All right, come on. What's going on here? Because we have, the energy there is just so inviting. Mm-hmm. And then a soul can be, when it comes back to its body and we wake up and it's like, oh boy, we're here on Earth again. It's heavy energy. There's so much going on, especially right now with mm-hmm. the COVID and the election. Mm-hmm. And our souls would love to just, I think a lot of our souls would love to just be done and go back home now. So, you know, sometimes if a person is going out too much, like trying to escape their life, their guides will actually, they can actually force a person, or no, that's not the right word, not prevent either, but
prohibit.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Prohibit person from a soul from astral projecting that can actually do that.
Yeah. Well, I know, I mean, I really believe that we do go out at night sometimes and do it, but I've tried consciously to astral project and remember it. I either I don't have enough patience or I'm just not into it that much. I mean, I really want to try it, you know, but I mean, I got remote viewing down pat. I can do that pretty much, but I can't go out and fly.
God.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting. All right. Now, some people believe in a heaven, some people believe in hell, but I've also heard that there's just one place that we all go, but there are different levels according to the status of the soul. And like, for instance, the lower levels are for souls that will either not willingly evolve or are truly evil. But those lower levels are not fire and brimstone like hell is. Do you believe that there is a hell and a heaven, and or is it kind of the way I'm thinking, maybe?
Honey, it's the way you're thinking. Okay, here's what's interesting is that heaven is, you're right, it's different levels in heaven. It's all about where our consciousness is. But you know what, honey? It's like right here on Earth, we have four different levels, well, I guess I should say five different levels of souls living here on Earth. And if you think about all the people, you know, in your community, you can almost put your finger on, yep, that one's a level two soul, that one's a level one soul, that one's a level five soul. A level five soul is a very, very advanced soul. And usually when we grow past, when we're done, when we're at the end of level four, we no longer have to reincarnate on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But some level five souls do come here, and they're kind of like angels on Earth. They're not literally angels, but they have the consciousness of an angel. They've already gone through all the reincarnation stuff, every possible experience they could have on Earth. But they come back to help, and they come back to be hopeful for people. So it's like we all are at different levels here on Earth, and yet we all live on the same planet together. And that's what it's like in heaven. We are all at different levels in consciousness, but we're all living in what appears to be the same level. But, you know, I remember when I had an out-of-body experience and I was over there, I remember seeing a staircase. And I said to the angel, where does that lead? And she said, to the higher levels in heaven. And I said, well, can I go over there? Can I go up those stairs? And she said, no, you're not ready yet. And she said, when you're ready, you'll be able to go up to the higher levels, but your consciousness is not ready yet. Mm-hmm. So that's what I can say about that.
All right. And so somebody's kind of asking a question. So how do we know, or do we ever find out what level soul we are at? Like if we're
here, yes.
Or wherever.
Honey. You know, I wrote a book called Echoes of the Soul, and in the book is explained the different levels. We could ask a psychic in a reading. We can sense ourself I'm just wondering, can we really... I think if we were detached enough emotionally, I think that we could ask the universe what level we're at, and I think it would tell us. You know, the bottom line is a beginner, a soul at level one is a person who has no consciousness at all, and they are right at the beginning of learning, and oh God, it I mean, people can stay stuck in one level for many lifetimes, mm-hmm. and but we do progress out of that, and I think that's where the crime and the murder stuff happens, is with these younger souls who, you know, honey, they don't really have a sense of karma or, mm-hmm. A tooth for a tooth, a tooth for a tooth.
Or an eye for an eye. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You, honey, thank you. I couldn't remember
what
body.
I like the tooth, though. I think it's better. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So, we can learn about the different stages. There was something else that you asked that really hit a chord with me that I wanted to answer. God, what was it? Heck, I don't remember, honey.
It'll come back. Evolving, yeah. Kind of thing. But, yeah, see, now I've always, and I've accused people of this, but I seem to think that I can tell a young soul from an old soul. Now, that's one level to the other level, but you know, you see somebody doing things and acting certain ways and whatever, and I shake my head and go, that's a young soul. You know,
yes.
That's not a ripe soul yet. So I think
right.
That's kind of easy to tell. You can see it on yep. other people. I don't know if you can see it on yourself, you know.
Yeah,
it's all those levels. And so, because I know there's so many people afraid to die because they think they're going to hell.
Oh, that's what the other one was, honey. Yeah. You know, okay, so I just think this is so interesting. When I was working on Echoes of the Soul, I asked the guides to please give me as much help as possible because I wanted to write it accurately. And so I asked them about hell. And they said, no, there is not the kind of hell that we think God created. They said God, which is a very loving energy, would never create a place like that. But, they said, there is a community on the other side, and this is in heaven, mm-hmm. that appears as a hell. And they said, we would never create anything like this, nor would God, but humans have created this community with their own consciousness. So people who think when they die, they're going to go to hell. People that say, oh, I'm going to hell for that for sure. People that have done bad things in their life, they assume they're going to go to hell. And so the angels said, people have created this community with their thoughts. But she said, you know, what's interesting about it is, so you go into this place when you die, expecting to go to hell. And she said, it's, again, their thoughts that will release them from this, their beliefs. So she says, so they go to this community, you know, okay, fire, fire, fire. And then, you know, it's kind of like, well, I mean, how many times can you burn over and over and over in hell, really? And so... Mm-hmm. It starts to occur to them, I wonder if there's a different way. I mean, what is this? What? And by wanting to know more information, that actually gets them out of that place. And then they become aware of, whoa, what is all this? And that's when they see heaven. Mm-hmm. So it's the crap that, I'm sorry, everybody, but it's the crap that religion has taught us. And it's like they taught us about hell because they didn't know any other way to keep us in line. And so the bummer is that it's caused so much stress for so many people. And, you know, Marla, I mean, I'd say 80% of the ghosts that I've met, they're terrified that they're going to be sent to hell. And that's why they're staying here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, honey, there is a place. People go there. They don't stay there very long. It's just like they start asking questions. Whereas when we're here on Earth, people just accept it. Well, I guess I'm going to hell. Instead mm-hmm. of asking questions like, is there really a hell? The kind of hell that religion created? Is it down there under the ground with Satan where we're going to burn all day long, I guess? I don't know. And when people start to ask questions and want new answers, that's when their consciousness starts to shift. Mm-hmm. And so when they die, they're not going to go to that place, you know?
Yeah,
Did that make sense what I just said?
Yeah, no, it made a lot of sense because pagans, one of the things... everybody was pagan 100,000 years ago, you know, and then Christianity came in, and I'm not against Christianity or anything like that, but they created the fear system that telling that if the pagans didn't convert to Christianity, that they would burn in hell, that there was a devil and they would burn in hell. So what you said is the same thing that pagans say, because that's what we were always taught, that it just isn't that way. It was, you know, I'm not saying that there's not bad. There are bad entities all over. I mean, you have to have bad when you have good. But, you know, to put the name on the devil and say, you know, if you don't come for us, you're going to burn in hell. I think that's kind of where it all started. So that's, you know, whatever. Oh. Okay, another question. If we do bad in life, do we reincarnate into a lower life form, like maybe a fly or something? I like that.
I'm sorry.
Or an ant. How about that? Yeah, no, I think a fly.
Oh, honey, that's so funny. No, because, I mean, what can you learn as a fly? How not to get swatted? I mean, really. So, we will reincarnate into the level that we're at. But, you know, honey, we can... be, let's see now, we can be reincarnated into a family where maybe the dad is at the same level that this person is at, and their mom is a more enlightened soul, and so they come into this family system, and there's all kinds of choices there that they can choose from. They can learn from the dad, be like the dad, like they were in their previous life, or they can choose to learn from the mom. And you know, I'm not saying this is how it is. I mean, it could be the dad that's enlightened and the mom that's really mean. But honey, our families are a perfect reflection of what we have come in to learn in this life. Mm-hmm. So no, you're not going to come back as a fly. You'll come back as a person who, you know, sometimes it doesn't even make sense to us why we go through the things we do. But when we start looking at everything from a higher perspective, as they say, looking at life through God's eyes, then we see, the reasons. Mm-hmm. I don't know, honey. I'll just give a really quick example because I know we're getting... But a really quick example is I came into a family like that. My dad was self-employed, incredibly hard worker, taught me about being self-employed, alcoholic. He was very physically violent. He had a lot of unresolved pain in his own life, and so we all got the brunt of that. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. Okay, for a long time I thought, why in the hell would I have chosen my dad? But now, as I've gotten older and I'm looking back at all of it, he taught me to be a strong woman and to be self-employed and to take care of myself, and he helped me by his example to be the person that I am today, that I feel proud about being. And so when I look at the good that came from my dad, then I can see why I went into that family. Mm-hmm. And there were a whole bunch of other reasons, but that one always stands out the most to me.
Yeah, well, I think we know when we write our life plan before we come down what we need to do. Doesn't mean that we always follow it once we get here, but I think, you know, we try our best to pick the parents that we need for whatever reason, or the friends that we need, or experiences that we have to go through. You know, it's like when people are always blaming somebody else for their terrible lives. Sometimes it's you know, the buck stops here, and we did it for a reason. And, you know, I think, God, I must have been awful the life before, you know, really bad to have to learn all these lessons.
Yes.
But, you know, it's the way we are. I don't think I was a serial killer, but you never know. I don't have that inclination now, so don't everybody worry.
Yeah, I get it, honey. I get it. But it's the same way. What the hell did I do in a past life to deserve this? And then after a while, you're like, oh, this isn't so bad. Okay, yeah, I learned this, and I got that, and all this and that. But you know what? It takes us a long time to get to that point, too, because we do blame. I mean, at first, that's all we know what to do. But then we start to grow, and wow, we become really nice people.
And we may have to do the same bad life three or four times until we get sensible enough to figure it out. So
exactly.
Something to look forward to.
We have free will. So like you said, we come in with a life plan, but we also have free will. So we can actually choose to go against our own plan.
Yeah. That's the scary part, but it also makes it interesting. All right. We've got like 3 minutes. So tell everybody where they can get a hold of you and find out about your books or what you're up to. And if you're teaching stuff, go for it.
Okay, website is echobodine.com, and Bodine is B-O-D-I-N-E. And on there, you know, I do a twice-a-month podcast with my friend Bobby Sullivan. I'm teaching classes on Zoom, which is just a lifesaver. I just love it. And let's see, what else?
Your books are available. Your books are available at like Amazon and everywhere, you know, any good bookstore, right?
Yep. All the books are out there and Amazon. Yes. It's all on Amazon. And I have a YouTube page. And what else can I tell you?
You're on Facebook also. So that's another place to find you. Yeah.
See, you should be my agent. Yes, I have Facebook too. God. And I guess I have Twitter, although I never do anything with it. But
on
Instagram. But I don't even know how to do it. Somebody created it for me. I guess I'm out there, honey. That's how you can find me.
All right. Well, I know where to find you, and I hope you'll come back at some point soon, and we'll talk some more. So thank you for letting everybody pick your brain tonight. We really do appreciate it.
Oh, honey, you're welcome. It's so nice hanging out with you, Marla. Thank you. And thank you, Sarge.
And let's thank everybody for listening in as well. And until next time, everybody, blessed be and merry meet again. Good night.
The circle be open, but unbroken. May the peace of the goddess be ever in your heart. Merry meet and merry part, and merry meet again. Merry meet again.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited.